Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life. Welcome aboard. It's the Sue Train. Benny, good morning. Happy New Year.
The Sue Train, huh? How many I guess carriages or cabooses do we... Well, there's only one caboose, really.
I mean, I got my one caboose.
I should start over.
You knew where we were going with that. You said that and you're like, uh-oh, here we go.
I thought I had something, but I didn't. Thought I did.
Well, Happy New Year, sweetheart.
Thanks,
oh
you
my
too.
God, it's another year.
I know, right? Bye-bye, 22.
Wow. You know, there's a lot of blessings, you know, the contrast of life, right? And that contrast of, you know, the vids and the emotions and the traumas and the stuff that we've learned, right?
Truth to that.
I just want to... Oh my gosh, totally. There's so much going on. I'm really excited. Of course, Benny, I love you dearly and I'm extremely thankful. And, you know, off and on, we've been doing this for, you know, if I went back, it's when we first started with the I'm Thankful Network. Mm-hmm. That was, it has to have been at least 15 years ago.
Yeah. So, and I think even just before that, previously, because you were a guest on other shows, just
right?
briefly, just
15
briefly.
15 years. But... Let's just call it 15
sure.
years. Sure. Gosh, we've been, yeah, I mean, you've been doing this a heck of a lot longer than I have, but
well,
above and beyond
that.
All of that, just deep appreciation. You're my superstar. You know, you're doing all the stuff behind the scenes and you've
Thanks.
Taught me so much over the years.
Thanks.
And many other guests. So thank you very much, sweetheart.
Yeah, I'll have to find my Superman outfit.
I've got
a photo somewhere. Yeah.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You look so good too. I love it. All right, you guys, we are jumping in. It's Clarity with Sue. You guys knew me and have heard my voice with the Gratitude Cafe, the I'm Thankful Network. It's still the same message, still the same intention to provide incredible tools and guests and people, men, women of all races and sizes and shapes and tastes and all that stuff. You know, you've heard me say the analogy of trying on different hats, and this show and this environment and this container that I'm providing on this live radio show is to provide real-time, real-life tools that you can keep showing up your best self. You know, it's a choice, and being able to show up your best self and having the tools to sustain that is really important. And that has been my quest for years, is finding those tools to help self-regulate and to help create a life and lifestyle that I can authentically and genuinely, you guys have heard me, those are big anchor words, authentically and genuinely feel proud of, for me, heart pride for my life and my lifestyle and the people that are in that life with me. We're going to be speaking today about somatic healing, trauma, resilience, post-traumatic stress, self-love, massive self-acceptance. We're going to talk about connection and drama or trauma, excuse me, or not having connection to the body, to the mind, what the nervous system is doing when we do and have trauma, that external environment and what's going on with that. And my guest today, she's been doing somatic therapy, and I'm super, super excited to have her on. And we're going to dive deep with massive conversations about this, what your nervous system has been doing to save you, which is, you know, our body, our nervous system, our minds has an incredible ability to heal itself when given the tools and the environment to do so. You know, you've heard me talk about those safe containers. We're going to do that today, and we're going to have some conversations about somatic healing, what that looks like, trauma. I want to remind all of you that we are live on Terrestrial Radio, AM 1150 on the dial in the Pacific Northwest, to all of you that are listening to us live there on the radio. And then we're also live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So if you would like to see us, which is absolutely amazing, just go to YouTube and type in AM 1150, 1150 KKNW, all those search words, and we'd love to see you. So we are going to be joining. I'm going to put on my glasses here. I know with those in the YouTube world, you can see me. And you know what I'm doing. I am saying Elvira in my head. Elvira, because it's Myra. Elvira, Myra, but it's not Elvira, but it's Myra Holzman. And I'm so excited to have you here.
See, that was a good thing to help you remember how to say my name.
Yes, creating the neural pathway, my friend.
That's
yes.
Right.
All right. Well, here we go. LCSW and is a body-based somatically trained trauma therapist specializing in helping adults heal from childhood trauma. Committed to the vision of ending the consequences of trauma from being passed on to future generations. Oh, right there.
That's the jam.
Right there, babe. Right there.
Yeah.
And she understands the importance of including the body as the ally in the healing process. I can keep going, but let's talk to you. Let's get to know you. The audience knows this. I do the formal bio and it's beautiful. Yeah. And we want to see you and your energy and your why. Talk to me. You know, there's that saying that, you know, you teach what you most need to learn.
And 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk to me about your journey through this, if you would please. And welcome, by the way.
Thank you. I'm so stoked to be here. And like I said to you a little bit ago, your energy is infectious. So I'm even more excited now and less nervous.
Yes. Good. So
I love that you opened with this question about my why, because to me, that is one of the most motivating forces. I think it is, I believe it is for most people about why they do the things that they're so impassioned about and then become really successful at. So I was born in the Philippines and my family moved here when I was 2. And so I grew up in an immigrant family. And part of what that means for me is that I grew up at home with 1 foot in the Philippines and then in my outside life, 1 foot in American culture. And that is actually a really hard road to travel because my parents were not Americanized, so to speak, when they got here. And so it's trying to navigate, synthesize, and weave these two different worlds. And my parents are, and I mean this in the best way, old school Filipinos. And part of what that means is that kids obey.
Yeah.
And Americans are not great at obeying. And I mean that in the best way, but it's a very individual culture versus Filipinos, which is a very collectivistic culture.
Yes.
And so I grew up in a home where most especially my emotional needs were just not met. I was emotionally neglected. My parents were physically abusive. They would never think that about how they raised me. That's just the way that Filipinos raise their kids, generally speaking. And I'm not saying all Filipinos. I'm saying that this is the way that my parents enforced rules at home. And so I grew up feeling a real lack of safety in my home and not really understanding the impacts of that until I started deepening my training after graduate school in somatic. So I'm trained as a somatic experiencing practitioner, which I'm sure you know is Peter Levine's approach to healing trauma through the body's pathways, through the body's.
We'll get deep. We need to break that down for the audience too, but it's phenomenal. Yeah. But please continue.
Yeah. So, my deep why for running my practice here in Denver, Somatic Therapy Partners, is just like you said, it's to end the impacts of intergenerational trauma. And I have a 13-year-old daughter. And when I got pregnant, I had this sort of unconscious, semi-conscious commitment to myself that I was going to raise her not in the way that my parents raised me. I was going to treat her with dignity and respect and kindness. I'm getting tearful just talking about it. And I was going to make sure that she had a voice and that she knew she was loved beyond all measure. And I know that my parents love me for sure. I know that. And
it's just a different kind and a different culture. And it's a different way.
And so, my daughter knows it through and through. She knows it all the time. And I always had to kind of try and figure it out. And, my parents were not touchy-feely, I love you kind of people. They were like, do as I say, not as I do kind of people. And then, use some methods, of course, that didn't create safety. And as I'm sure we're going to get into it, this, if you grow up in a home where there isn't safety around, your nervous system doesn't develop optimally. And so I've spent my whole life overcoming my inheritance, so to speak, around especially how I show up in relationships. So my deep why is deep.
Conversation. That deep why, hang on, because I think that there's a real learning pin right there because people don't understand that their reality, their personality has been created from a trauma, right, in their life. It's right.
Yes.
Your personality becomes your personal reality based on what has happened.
That's right.
So get there. Yes. It's so important.
Yeah. So that's my deep why. It's why I love to do what I do. Like, I really consider myself privileged and lucky that I go to work every week, 4 days a week, and I see my clients, and I freaking love my clients, and they love me back. And I'm invested in their healing and their wholeness and their authenticity and their self-love. And it shines through, and then people heal, and then they move on and they do things in the world that they always wanted to do, but couldn't, because their early pattern and personality that was shaped by trauma got healed and shifted. And then they can go and, you know, live the lives that they always wanted to live, or live it with less, you know, anxiety, less stress, less self-consciousness, things like that.
Blessings to you, and thank you. Thank you. It's such important work. And I hear you when you're talking about generational traumas and the cellular biology and all of the juicy stuff, you know, the whole nerdy stuff the medical stuff I can get into, but keeping it layman, your body has a memory of that. And just as an example, I'm a product of adoption. I have raised three beautiful daughters. I'm a bit of an empty nester now, living, you know, on my own, and I said the exact same thing. I said, I will not raise my three children. They won't experience the trauma and the ranges of abuse that I had endured or experienced.
Right.
And I will also say, there was, and this is important too with parents, because I've had this conversation, that not only did I have my conversation with other parents, but also my ex and some other doctors and stuff, that it was very important for me not to pass on my fears and traumas based on my external experiences to my children.
1,000%.
I wanted them, right?
Yeah.
I wanted them to experience their life. Now, was I perfect at it all the time? No. Did I go into fight or flight in the holy shiitakes? Yes, I totally did. But I only, you get my shiitakes, right?
I do. Yeah. I love that.
And the audience knows that. They're all the Suisms and the Farfig Nugans and the. But back to, you know, and I think you will agree that the foundation or the first part of that understanding is the awareness that it's happening. The happening, the adjective to describe the fear, the fight or flight. You know, I've used the analogy, you know, this, and I'd like to unpack somatic for the audience, define it, walk through the conversation, because I think it's such an important tool, because I am hands down that practicality. Yes, I'm deep seated in 5D and the energies of the world. And I love all that. We live in a practical 3D world. We need to have that practicum, you know, that self-regulation immediately, and what that looks like.
We do.
Especially coming off of the vid and even if it just wasn't the vid, coming off of holidays, you know, dancing and swimming in the stuff, you know?
Yeah. The holidays are actually a big deal, because everybody goes to see their family, and then they go and get triggered. And then they show back up in my office, and I'm like, okay, let's unpack how that went and how you did and how, you know, what happened.
Right. Or they don't have family where they thought they had. So there's all kinds of conversations here. So please, if we could first, thank you again for sharing your why. Let's unpack somatic. Let's kind of the definition, because I know, and you know what, let me do this really quick. I want the audience, because this is a question that I want the audience to kind of have and noodle in their head as we're having the conversation, because it's important.
Okay.
Because this is, and I'm going to go through the definition of some things that you talk about on your website. And I thought it was really important, because it just gets your neurals going.
Yeah.
So you guys, audience, I want you to really think about this. Are you re-experiencing the trauma through intrusive, distressing memories of events, flashbacks, or nightmares? I could say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you emotionally numb and actively avoiding places, people, activities, and reminders of trauma? Yeah, I am. Currently, mm-hmm. I am. I don't go to Facebook. You know, there's that, but there's also places too, because my nervous system gets triggered.
Yeah.
And it's important that we have this transparency with the audience, so they can really see and then have their awareness to begin their healing. Are you having difficulty sleeping, concentrating, feeling jumpy, and or being easily irritated or angered? Now, that's also important, not only with trauma response, but also hormone imbalance too. We don't need to go down that avenue, but it's important that the audience you know, if you're having that, go get your hormones checked for the females out there. But
yes,
specifically talking to somatic and your trauma response audience, I want you to ask yourself, this is your awareness tool, asking yourself these questions. Are you re-experiencing X, Y, and Z, what I was just talking about? And if you are, you need to get some help. So
yeah.
The stage is you, my friend.
So what I love that you are talking to your audience about are some of the primary symptoms of PTSD, which stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. And PTSD, so here's an interesting thing that you might not know that I found really interesting as a part of my trainings. So the thing I actually specialize in helping clients heal from is early trauma. And early trauma is defined as adverse experiences that happen in those first 3 years of life, 0 to 3 years old, where basically your neural pathways and the template, I use the word template, yep, the template of your nervous system is getting laid down. Yep. So if your mom was depressed, if your dad abandoned you by going off to war, or it doesn't always have to be bad things. It can just be a state of, things that
unrest,
are just not,
uneasy,
yeah, unrest, just, yeah, uneasiness.
Yep. Yep.
So if you have that, what is true is that if you don't get help, if you don't get support in those early years, then when you have early trauma, it actually predisposes you to experience the symptoms that you just described that are of PTSD. So it's kind of like pre-trauma, because in those early years, if your nervous system isn't built well enough, and I always use a metaphor of a building, right? So all my clients walk in and they, you know,
and it's not you guys, you didn't do anything wrong. It's very important that we say that too, right?
Very important that we say that. Yeah. There's no blame when it comes to trauma at all. And there's no shame in it. And we can also talk about that. But when those early, or when the nervous system doesn't develop very well or optimally, then it predisposes you when bad things happen for you to be less resilient. And when you are less resilient, your nervous system isn't in that functioning of being able to come into arousal and then settle, right? So a healthy nervous system comes into arousal and then settles. It's supposed to do that all on its own. It knows exactly how to do it. That's how powerful our nervous systems are. But in early trauma, that rising and settling pattern that we see, mm-hmm, isn't in place. And so what happens is that clients get stuck either in a revved up sympathetic arousal state, me as well, right? Or they get stuck in the other side of it where they're collapsed, they're depressed, there's seemingly no energy for life. And then often people will sort of bounce between those two poles, but never really live in that middle range.
You know, it's like extreme here, extreme there, right?
That's right. It's a life full of extremes. And that the cost of doing business, which is a Stephen Porges term, who is a huge person right now in the world of psychology because of his polyvagal theory, but he talks about the nervous system and the cost of doing business. So the symptoms that you named are PTSD, and then there's early trauma. So there's a lot of different kinds of trauma, but the main ones are early trauma, and then there's PTSD, and they're really connected, unfortunately. People who develop PTSD likely had early experiences of adversity or lack of safety in their home. And so again, like I said, it means that their nervous system can't quite get over the hump and come into healing, and they need not a lot of support, but more support than someone who had a really regulated nervous system and then something really intense happened, but that pattern was already in place in their nervous system. Does that make sense what I'm saying? What I'm talking about?
I get, yes, you're speaking my language. And I think you broke it down very easily for layman terms, because that's important, right? Because if you don't understand it, you're not going to do it. You're not going to feel safe, right?
That's right.
Absolutely important that we break it down. And you know what's coming up for me? Because, you know, I read the symptoms and I'm like, yes, check. And of course I teach what I most need to learn because of, I'm a product of, you know, the traumas and the abuse and the post-traumatic stresses. And the conversation I want to have with you is that you're either, you know, there's extremes. It's either you're shut down or you're hypervigilant, you know? And the hypervigilant mom, the hypervigilant parent, the whatever that is, or you're hypervigilant and you're creating the drama in your life because that's what your nervous system is used to, right?
That's right. Is the chaos and the, you know, the holding
your breath.
Well,
wait, it feels different. It's supposed to feel different. My loves, you're supposed to be in homeostasis and calmness.
Right.
Yes. And that's okay. It's just, you know, and I've spent many years researching the work with Dr. Joe Dispenza and his meditation practice and all of that. And I think Have you been to a couple of his events? Or
I haven't, but I've read a couple of his books, and he's one of the few authors in that realm of self-help, because he talks about the body in ways where it's not about ignoring it or overcoming it. It's about transcending these. This is how I heard it, transcending these somatic patterns so that you can heal and basically be different. And that landed for me. It's like,
and get it out of your body. It's a separation between that. Right. And it is, it's just your nervous system going, I'm going to keep you right here, brother.
That's right.
I'm going to keep you right here in fear, because we know that.
We know that super well. So let's just live right here all the time. That's
it. And then let's juice us up with more caffeine and Red Bulls. And we're going to go zing, zing. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many ways that people do that, right? They pick fights with their partner. They work out all the time. They do a lot of high risk activities. Yeah. That would be,
Yes, please go ahead.
That's right. Yeah. No, I mean, but that's the pattern that I know. I'm a sympathetically dominant person. So what I've learned being a therapist working with trauma is that everybody has a template. So most people are either in a fight response or a flight response, right? Or they shut down. And I know that there's other, you know, there's fawning and there's other responses to trauma, but most of the time everyone defaults to one of those. And I've talked about this before, but my default is fight. If I'm under threat and you want to go, I'm going to lean in and say, let's go. I'm not going to run away.
I'm going to be nice about it.
That's right.
Out the window.
Right. That's what I knew how to do. And that, for your listeners, here's the thing I really want them to hear. Whatever your default trauma response is, right? Fight, flight, or freeze. Again, it's not your fault. It's what your body and your system learned how to do in order to protect yourself from the lack of safety and adversity in your life. And I say that because I spent years, Sue, feeling deeply ashamed about how angry I would get, how reactive I would get. I would be in my head beating myself up. And it was just an internalized thing. And when I finally worked with a therapist that was like, you know, it makes sense to me how you show up when you feel threatened. And I remember being like, what do you mean that makes sense to you? No one has ever said that to me. And
what
she
a
said,
powerful moment for you, just a paradigm shift, right?
It was everything for me, because it's when the shame binding started to loosen up. Because it was like, she was now telling me about in your home, when your parents talk to you with contempt, which they did a lot, your anger would help you not feel powerless. It would help you feel powerful. And I remember weeping. Like, I remember like all of a sudden sobbing in this session with my therapist and not understanding what was happening. And later only coming to realize, like, I felt seen and understood for the first time in my adult life. And this was in my late 20s, early 30s. So I had spent 3 decades being down on myself for the way that my body naturally learned how to defend itself. Other people can avoid, they can run away, they could shut down. And that, at least in my world, seems more socially acceptable, right? If you're just quiet and you just avoid, and that's fine, but it's still
diminished. Just kind of keep yourself quiet.
Right. A little bit small. And I just got big with this rage, because it was the thing I needed to do to handle my parents, because their rage was also so big, right? So if I didn't meet them, what was going to happen for me as a young girl with a developing nervous system and a developing brain is that I was going to get crushed to death. And so my brain was like, here's an option for you. Let's just get angry all the time. Let's overreact. Let's get upset. Let's pick fights, right? Arousal, 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 arousal.
And then the chemicals are going, ving, 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 ving. And your body becomes addicted to it.
That's right. Ugh. Exactly right. You get addicted to that. Like, I would get addicted to that, you know, surge of emotions when I would release by yelling or like stomping my feet or doing whatever I was doing. And then my system could go, okay, good.
Whew. Yeah. Okay, now I can relax. Yeah,
that's it.
It is. And people, when I have this conversation, it's very important. And I differentiate when I'm speaking. Your body, your body, is addicted to the chemicals that are being released. It's not you, because when people hear "I'm addicted," what do you think happens? They're like, "I am not addicted. What are you even talking about?" And the concept that your nervous system, and they have all these chemicals, sticky stuff. I call it sticky. you know, we can go into the neural. It's sticky. It's sticking in your body. It is truly sticking in your body. And having that come up, and it is and has been for me, you have the permission and the right to not be that anymore. That does not need to be your norm. How freaking powerful is that?
It's the most powerful thing.
It's the realization, oh my God, I don't have to be that anymore.
That's right.
I'm getting, my body's getting massive goosebumps because it's such a, it's a realization for me and for so many people that I talk to, right? I mean, this is one of the biggest reasons why I have this platform is to, it's new thoughts, new ideas, a new you. It's different perspectives, hearing it differently. It's so, so profound and important.
That's right. And what I love about what you just said is that choice is inherently empowering. Just as a thing, like if you give someone a choice, like, oh, you know what, Myra, you don't always have to be angry and overreactive and yelling at people and looking at, you know, like criticizing people. You have a choice to be gentle and soft and kind and generous. And that choice for someone to say to me, right, like you can be a different way if you want to, and I'm going to help you, because we have to do these things together, right? So always, so choice is inherently empowering. The other thing related to what we're talking about is that trauma and shame always go together. They're almost like twins, and it's unfortunate, but it's true. And so, you know, we know that shame has to be healed in between two people, because shame typically happens in between two people. So if the hard stuff happens in between two people, then how it gets healed is through these kinds of conversations with you, with your therapist, with your best friend, with your partner, where you can be held gently, lovingly, kindly, compassionately when you are feeling ashamed. And for me, it was being, like I said, being held kindly in my overreactivity, my highly sympathetic arousal system dominance that would show up, and having my therapist go, I really get it. I really get. And then the next part of the conversation is, and what's the cost for you to be living like that all the time?
Oh, right? That we got to, that's right there, right there. We're going to take a quick commercial break, my lovely ones, audience. Sister, we could keep going for hours and hours and hours. I just love this conversation. All right. To the radio world, we're going to take a 3-minute commercial break. To the international world, the podcast world, the YouTube world, we're going live for about 3 minutes. So come join us there, and we're going to keep having a conversation and loving on you. So we'll be right back.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out.
Ooh. Hey loves, this is Sue with the Gratitude Cafe and my website, Clarity with Sue, creating vitality, abundance, resilience. It's clear mindset. Clarity is your fuel and your gas pedal for all that you desire. Win at life and reclaim, rediscover, redesign the authentic and genuine you. Come get some freebies at claritywithsue.com. That is claritywithsue.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Norwood, your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Asthma affects 25 million people nationwide, and every day 10 people die with it, with African American women and children being most at risk. Early warning signs include coughing, especially at night, or with exercise and wheezing. Almost all asthma can be effectively managed with a good action plan. So talk with your doctor today, and for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video, as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Move mountains. We gonna walk it out and move. Mountains, and I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day.
you. Great song. Let's rise up, my brothers and sisters. Oh, wow. Great. I'm serious. We're going to have an after hours with SJ conversation. I want to do this on a different platform. So we'll talk about that later. But this is so good. Powerful, so important.
Yeah.
And talking about the adjective trauma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I use that as a big umbrella because trauma shows up in so many different shapes and sizes. It could be minute. It could be huge. But depending on the human, that's how you're going to, your nervous system is going to be affected.
That's right.
Yeah, affected. Yeah. And then there's affect that happens. And your personality creates your personal reality, which means what you are doing inside is going to show up to the external world.
That's right.
And if trauma and angst and drama keep showing up, there's an irregular chemical stuff going on in your body, and the sticky stuff, like I say, there's sticky stuff. Something isn't right. And not holding shame or guilt to that. And the words I use are CCs, the CCs in life, compassionate curiosity. So when that sticky stuff comes up, you can just say, I'm going to get curious. I'm going to have some compassion for this, right? Because so it calms the nervous system, right?
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Have at it, sister. That was a download years ago on the radio. I'm like, the CCs, that's brilliant, right?
Yeah. I mean,
because you get curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about compassionate curiosity for me is that, especially with the clients that I work with, because again, I specialize in working with adults who have, you know, suffer from the impacts of early trauma, is that compassionate curiosity is literally one of the farthest things. Like, it's like people don't even know to do that, because that shame that gets bound in the traumatic experience, what they're doing is just judging themselves. Is they're going inside and going, God, why am I so stupid? Like, why did I say that? How could I have been so dumb? You know, on and on and on. And so the process of working with another safe enough others, right, is about having someone come along and say, you know, I'm really curious about your reaction that you just had. Like, you seem to get really angry with me and I want to hear more about it. And I'll tell you, I've had a few instances in my career where I've just totally been misattuned. I got something wrong. I didn't call someone back. I said the wrong thing. And the client got really angry with me. And my response was, I hear that you're angry and I want to know more because I care about what's happening for you. And those were some of the, I have one client in particular that I'm thinking of. That client in particular said that that was the moment when things really started to shift, because now she had this different way of being received in her reactivity, which was caring.
New experience, new neural pathway.
That's it. New neural pathways got laid down, and it was genuine. I was like, wow, I must have really messed it up with you. I am so sorry. Can we unpack this? Are you available to have this conversation? And then in that moment, the shame that she had for all of her life for being reactive and over-explaining and all these things kind of just like softened, right? Mm. And then her heart could come and meet mine, which was already open and available to her. Mm. And then she could start doing this on her own, having this, I love the way that you said it, this compassionate curiosity about like, wow, I just completely freaked out. Like, I'm like trembling and I'm mad and I want to do all of these things. And what do I need to check in with for myself? And so that is the pathway out of trauma. I'm realizing this more and more the longer I've been in my field, is that one of the first things I need to teach my clients to do, among other things, is how to be self-compassionate and really driving home, like, this is literally the answer to the shame and to the trauma that you've experienced is compassion. And not only are you going to experience it in our sessions, because I'm going to show up and be with you and be fully attuned, right? But you're also going to learn how to come inside of your own psyche and go, what's happening? You are really angry about that person that did this thing that seems innocuous, but you're pissed about it to the point that you're trembling and shaking, right? And when people can start to do that, it's one of those signs that your nervous system is really healing and moving out of what's called trauma physiology and deeper into what we really want in life, which is thriving physiology, right? Mm. Where our nervous system is like regulated. It knows what to do. You don't have to.
Homeostasis.
That's it. Homeostasis. That's exact. We're just talking the same thing, different language.
Yeah. Which is good. We want, you know, I want them all. I want all those words in there so we can keep it grounded, right?
Yes.
And layman too.
That's right. Absolutely.
We got to be able to understand it. You use big words. And I like the conversation. I'm not going to come to me. I'm not going to use the Rubik's cube on you. It's not going to happen. Right. I'm not going to use big words. I'm going to be loving and silly because we're talking deep, serious work here.
Deep work.
And, you know, having somebody use big words with me, I'm looking at him going, I'm off. Done.
Yeah. Right.
Swipe. Bye. Don't feel safe. Don't understand you.
Yeah.
And now I'm feeling shame because you used a big word and now I don't know how to ask.
That's right.
Shut off. Right.
That's right.
So true.
It's really
so true.
Yeah.
I love this conversation. So let's, it is so powerful and so needed. And I would like to talk to you and have the audience have this awareness about how can we help them have a hyper awareness in their internal and external life where they are creating trauma responses. Are they speaking drama to get a charge, not only from themselves, but somebody else? Are they, you know, it's like the water cooler. Are you going to the water cooler to go me, and there's a charge, right?
Yeah.
So there's different, there's different aspects of that, you know, like, thank God I had the awareness. I didn't want to, you know, be so hypervigilant on my children that I shut all of their stuff down, right?
Correct.
You can't do that because I'm scared. You can't do that because that happened to me, you know?
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
So how can we provide an awareness to the audience? And guys, this is just, this is the CCs. It's just loving on you and creating an environment, a container of safety. So you can, we're having this open conversation, like at a coffee shop, right? To the audience.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have the squeaky wheel in your head going, oh, what they said really resonated, or what they said really ticked me off. So go lean into it. Go get some. If you had a reaction, yes, that's what we want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So let me talk a little bit. So right now, what I have noticed in the field of personal growth and psychology is that everyone is all of a sudden, at least to me, because I've known about regulation since I started my training back in 2007, but there's a lot, and I even looked at it on your website. You have this course, Craziness to Clarity, and you talk about nervous system regulation. And when I was training, nobody used that language, right? So I just want to unpack it really, really simply for folks so that they understand where the guardrails are. So when your nervous system is regulated, you can expect to feel alert and relaxed. It's as simple as that. When you are regulated, you are engaged in your environment or what you're doing, but it's kind of in a relaxed way. Now, I'm not saying that you need to live there all the time, but that's the baseline that we want your nervous system to come back to. So for example, in this setting right now, I'm starting to come back into regulation. When we first began, I told you before ahead of time that I was nervous. So I was up here and I could feel myself kind of like, you know, my body was just a little bit like vibrating like this. And I was, and I was maybe talking a little fast. And right now everything is starting to settle down. So my nervous system is doing that without me having to do anything. I'm not over here trying to breathe a certain way or think a certain thing. So when you are regulated and you feel alert and relaxed, if your system doesn't come back to that alert and relaxed state within a short amount of time, and I'm talking maybe 20 minutes or so, right? Then there might be something that's a little bit off. And there's nothing bad about that. It just means that this is the awareness that I want your listeners and for everybody to have, because a well-regulated nervous system, and the thing about our bodies is that they're so powerful and innately intelligent that they know how to regulate themselves if everything happened well enough in those early years, right? I had to work towards that. I have had to work towards regulation, and now my nervous system knows how to do it. And it's not a thing. I don't have to work super hard at, again, breathing a certain way or thinking a certain way. It just sort of does it.
And if I like how you called it out too. You called it out and it's you taking your power back. Oh, my body's nervous. I'm feeling a little bit nervous here. Hey,
all right. Yeah.
Well, babe, you're safe with me. We got this. We're good to go. Whether it's me, you and I having that external conversation, or you having it with your powers that be, you know,
with the powers that be. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So if you find as a listener that you don't come back to baseline, or if I say baseline and you're like, what the heck do you mean by baseline? And I say baseline is alert and relaxed. And you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Alert and relaxed, not stimulated off of caffeines or stuff.
Right. That's just a great distinction. Right. Yeah. Without all of the things that we might put into our body to get us alert, or the things we might put into our body to get us relaxed. It's without any of those things. It's like, and I can feel it happening. Like my breath is starting to slow down. So I'm a somatic therapist. So one of the things I do all the time is I talk about and I teach my clients to describe what's happening in their body, their sensations, their shifts in physiology, their impulses, right? What they're feeling emotionally, what they might even be imagining. These are all what are called channels of the body. And so when you are regulated, your mind is generally speaking clearer, right? It's not racing. It isn't stuffed with a bunch of thoughts. And it's definitely not stuffed with a bunch of self-negating thoughts. Because again, if trauma and shame always go together and you are dysregulated, then your thought patterns are going to mimic your body. As a sidebar, but related, you know, we always talk about the mind-body connection. That's everywhere all the time. Mm-hmm. But what's really true is that mind and body are one. There's no separation between mind and body. So if your thoughts are, so to speak, polluted with all of this self-negation, you know what your body's going to feel? It's going to feel braced. You're going to be shallow breathing. You're probably going to be more prone to sickness. You're going to have digestive issues and immune functioning issues.
Inflammation, so, all the stuff. Yeah.
Inflammation. That's the biggest word right now when it comes to all of that. So mind and body are not separate. This isn't about mind-body connection. It's about mind-body unity and coherence. Mm. That's really what we're trying to get to, is mind-body unity and coherence versus dysregulation is mind and body separated, right? Mm. They're not quite connecting together. Or if they are, it's creating dis-ease or disease versus that unity where, okay, if I can be kind to myself and teach my body that it can come out of being hypervigilant or shut down, then health is going to open up because the systems in your body are going to flow better. There will literally be more space in your body, right? For blood to flow, for cells to function.
It'll be fluid.
That's it. That's right.
Audience, did you hear the contrast and the discernment and the examples of, and I say this, you know, it was realization for myself. And of course the conversation, I'm sure your clients, you know, being in fight or flight, big buzzwords, right? The fight or flight mechanisms. But if we break it down, if you're constantly in fear, if you're constantly on the go, if you're constantly shut down, if you're constantly numbing out, if you're constantly hypering out,
yes,
that is dysregulation. That's not the norm. And you are going to say, well, that's how I've always been. That's what I know. I'm like, well, how's that working for you? You're here and you're listening and having a conversation because you know there's something sticky in there. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So having this awareness and conversation so you know that the contrast and the discernment is so important versus avoidance and denial, you know?
Yeah. That's why I love how you're talking about it because, you know, for people who haven't ever been to see a therapist or maybe have not read a lot of self-help books, but they have this inkling that something's not quite right and life could be different or better, it can be really helpful for someone to just break it down simply. Here's what regulation feels like, alert and relaxed at the same time. And then you compare, the listener can compare their experience and be like, you know, I don't know if I've ever felt that way, right? I have a quick story that I'll share. So one of the things that I do to help heal early trauma is this therapeutic touch form called co-regulating touch. And it's a passive.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes,
and
thank
it's
you.
A
I want to know about this more.
It's really amazing. It was created by my teachers, Kathy Kane and Stephen Terrell. And they wrote a book called Nurturing Resilience. And I've taken a bunch of their trainings and I assist at their trainings. Have you heard of that?
Okay.
Book?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And it's basically what I do. It sounds funny the way I'm going to say it, but I hold people's kidneys and I hold people's brainstems because where the kidney is, the adrenal system sits right on top. And so that helps regulate the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. I know that's a big word, but it's a big part of our brain. And so that's part of what I'm going in there with intention. So I do this, it was probably the first or second session with this client. And most of the clients that we see struggle with either early trauma and or anxiety. I'm really good at working with anxiety versus depression because I tend to be wired up versus wired down, right? So she sits up and she had kind of fallen asleep. And this was a woman who had a lot of early trauma, a lot of misattunement, a lot of neglect. Mm-hmm. And she sits up and I'm like, how are you doing? And she takes a moment and she's, you know, I can see her just sort of being really confused and she starts weeping. And I say, oh, what's happening? And she's like, what's happening to me? And I said, what do you mean? She's like, I don't understand how I feel. And I said, and I paused, and I was just sort of with her for a moment. And I said, I wonder if you feel relaxed and settled, and that your brain and your system doesn't actually know what this feels like. And it might be a little scary for you. And then she starts sobbing, and she's realizing just how little of this experience that she's had in her life. And part of what she ended up saying was, like, she asked me, she's like, is this what feeling safe enough is like? I was this is the embodiment of what safety is like, because safety isn't a concept that we talk about and then create. It is something that we can create. I take that back. And it is, it has to be, and I say that in the best way, not like a should, but it has to be a lived experience in the body so that we know how to come home to ourselves. Because if we don't have that, right? Like, I didn't have that, and I had to learn what safe enough felt like, which, if I had to again come back to this idea of regulation being alert yet relaxed, that is safety. Yes. And that to me was one of the most prominent experiences early in my career of using this therapeutic touch form with my clients that really helps rewire and bolster the nervous system that didn't get to develop optimally. Because when you have safety, and when you then get regulation from that, in my world, that's everything. That's the launching point for every good, amazing, beautiful, gorgeous, rich thing that you want in life and that you can have. So,
yes, yes, and yes, and thank you. When that happens, like if it's a Tony Robbins event, or it's a trauma event, or they're coming out of your office, or a Dr. Joe Dispenza event, and I say this from personal experience, it is, I have just overcome myself.
Yes, that's
I've
right.
I've overcome myself, and I'm speaking from my experience. Then what do I do? Who am I?
Right.
I don't know how to love. What's love mean to me? What, mm-hmm. you know, what am I going to do in this world now as this new person, and keep fostering, finding, seeking out that safety? Because that feels really good.
Super good.
Super good. So how am I? And that was a question to me. How am I going to keep bringing in the juicy stuff, you know, the above the line stuff? What is going to be my anchor? You know, what's my anchor that's good? I'm going to be like, oh, nope. You know, it's like the old Chick Shadle, or they would put rubber bands on your wrists, you know, and snap. I don't know if it's Chick Shadle, but whatever. I mean, I even use the rubber bands just so I could be, whoa, 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 hang on. Yeah. We're not doing that anymore, love.
That's right.
We're not doing that anymore. Love ya. And I would have to put literally, and for me, you know, going to the conversation of not really knowing what love truly felt like for me, because a recovering people pleaser, you know, all the stuff out there, right?
Yeah.
I literally had to build a new neural pathway of what that felt like for me. And what did is I went on YouTube, and something that's so pure and beautiful to me are puppies and babies. That belly giggle laugh that babies, and then that puppy breath that is so pure, and all you see is just love. So I would put that in and go, love and trust, love and trust. And I would constantly repeat over myself and build that neural pathway and build that experience, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So and important.
It's really important. And the way that you continue to build and strengthen those neural pathways, right? And this is why I'm a somatic therapist, is you have to feel that in your body. You have to feel the goodness.
And people are like, no, I don't want to feel that.
But it's so like, important. It's one thing to have the thought, like to see the puppies and see the babies and feel the warmth in your chest and whatever. But you actually have to go, the way that I talk about it and with my clients is, okay, so feel the goodness that's happening. This is the first exercise I give to all of my clients when they arrive. I'll say to them in their first session, so here's your piece of homework. I want you to, at the end of every day, find one good enough feeling experience. I want you to go back and relive the experience by remembering what happened. Maybe it was a sunset. Maybe it was a flower you walked by, or the snuggling your dog. And as you remember that memory in your mind's eye, I then want you to send your attention south into your body. And I want you to notice the sensations of that memory, right? I want you to notice that your breath starts to expand and slow down. I want you to notice that there's a smile on your face, because that's a behavior. I want you to notice that you're suddenly, your heart rate has gone down and you're now sitting back in your chair and your back is relaxed and you feel a little bit heavier in your seat. Because the more that you can feel the goodness happening in your body, the more that you overcome the trauma and the shame that happened in your early life, and the more that you rewire the brain and create new neural pathways so that your new norm is, oh my God, I feel alert and relaxed and I feel good. Because
the new
then,
norm right there, the new norm, my loves.
That's yes. Right. That's the new norm that we want. Because then when you, let's say, go into a social situation and someone's talking to you and they're not treating you with dignity and you feel your heart, you feel your chest brace, or you feel your eyes start to bulge, or you grip your jaw. Yeah. Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
That's not regulated. That's you moving into a dysregulated, defended, survival physiological state where your body is preparing for something bad to happen. And as soon as you start picking up on, oh, I'm not in that new norm of relaxed yet alert, as well as here's the third piece, socially engaged in an easy way, right? Then something's a little
without alcohol.
Without alcohol, without any of the things that we might otherwise take to to change our nervous system, then it gives you information to say, hey, what's happening here? I don't super love the way you just said that thing to me. I'm feeling judged. Is that happening? I notice I'm not breathing well and my chest is really braced. And as soon as you do that, right, people are like, oh, shoot, I didn't know. Or like, yeah, I am judging you. And not that people will cop to it, but it's a way of really standing for yourself in an aligned, coherent, mind-body unity way, right? So you can't just think about the good thing. You have to literally spend the time to slow down and feel it as fully as it is alive in your body when it is happening. You got
Beautiful.
It. Yeah, Beautiful. See, you're feeling it all right now. I can see your shoulders are dropped, your eyes are closed. Totally. There's a softness to your breath, right? You're feeling everything.
Yes. And to have that conversation, and Brené Brown talks a lot, you know, I love her. I love her work.
Love her.
And I love her. And we're dabbling in that conversation. I've heard her so many times talk about that. You are being triggered. The trigger is never about that person that's triggering you. And I was always put to blame with my ex. Well, you're triggering me. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. But
it doesn't quite work that way.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. And to create a space and a power. We talk about self-love, self-acceptance, and you're bringing your power back.
Yeah.
This is you choosing and deciding. Again, my language and what I teach. It's you then deciding, okay, how am I going to show up in this moment? I'm going to show up powerful, purposeful, and with compassion.
Yes.
And with that, I am going to use nurturing language to be compassionate and curious, because something external just happened. And I'd like to unpack that, because I'm not quite sure what just happened. It got sticky there. Can we have that conversation?
Yes, exactly.
And playing with that energy of non-shaming you. You did this to me. Oh, we're getting goosebumps. I can feel it resonating with so many people. And that was important to me, because I didn't want to be in that reaction.
That's right.
Right?
That reaction is the dysregulation. It's the old pattern.
And then you're creating language. And it's this cyclical thing. So how do I show up? I've gotten clear on who I am, how I'm showing up. I want to show up nurturing, loving, and with compassion, but still purposeful.
That's right.
And standing up for myself in my own power.
That's
so
right.
How do I language that? I language it. I'm going to give you the language here. Try this on, try this hat on.
Yeah.
And then go in and integrate that into your nervous system so you can truly feel confident and aligned with what you're saying.
That's right.
No, it's so powerful. Okay, babe. Yeah. Benny's telling us we got 2 minutes. Okay, tell everybody. I know. See what I mean?
It went by so fast.
I know. It goes so fast. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, what's going on, and all that. Yes.
Okay. So my practice is in Denver. It's somatictherapypartners.com. And there's two offerings that I'm developing that will be ready hopefully in the next 2 weeks. So one of them is a business coaching program for therapists called More Thriving Therapists. And the goal is to just support therapists in thriving more, because we are in an age right now where everyone's burnt out, especially healing providers. And then the other thing I'm going to be offering is somatic mentoring for coaches and for therapists. So people who want to incorporate somatics and nervous system stuff into the work that they do. And here's the big sell about using somatics is that when you have somatics in your awareness, you actually work less hard. And you really
and that's
empower,
the okay part.
That's the okay part, because what you're really doing is you're empowering your clients to do their own work, so you don't have to do it for them. So those are the two programs.
Which you should be doing anyways, and I love that.
Yeah.
We're running out of time, love. It has been absolutely divine, beautiful, so what I call the juicy stuff, and powerful education, knowledge, open heart. That you are. And for all those driving out there, I'm going to put all the links and information on the website and the posting, so you'll know how to get a hold of her. Thank you. And as the beautiful Brené would say, and the Teddy Roosevelts, thank you for getting in the rink.
Yeah. Thank you, Sue. Thank I appreciate you. The opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. And to all of my audience and guests and all that, iTunes and all that, 6 stars, please. We're going for the stars. All right, we'll see you next week. Benny, thank you. And for all of you, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world.